The following program was previously recorded and is sponsored by Danny Yamashiro Ministries. This is 99.5 The Word.
Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host Lani Ka'a'a. Welcome to The Good Life, where we're here to help unleash your God-given purpose, offering perspectives of hope through Jesus Christ. Did you know the less sex you put in a movie, the more money it makes? The less violence you put in a movie, the more money it makes. The less F words, the more money that movie makes. Now, this comes from Movie Guide's research. Robbie Baer, CEO of Movie Guide's parent company, joins us today. We pause here at the beginning of our show, as we typically do, to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program. Well, dear friend, it's to lead you closer and closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing right now, whatever challenge it might be, however difficult things might seem, you might even feel like your back is against the wall. Look, there is always hope in Jesus, in Jesus, in Jesus who loves you so much, dear one. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the living Christ, who has touched the heart and life of Robbie Baer, is reaching out to you with his tender arms of love and compassion and restoration, hope through Christ. And it's our prayer that you would turn to the Lord. And if you already know him, that you would grow and be inspired through this program and gain strength in your faith. Robbie Baer is the co-chief executive officer of Good News Communications Incorporated. It's the parent company of Movie Guide and Christian Film and Television Commission, CFTVC Ministry. Robbie received his bachelor's degree in history from Wheaton College, studied at the Chinese University in Hong Kong and Oxford University in England. He's married to Taylor. They have four children, Charlie, Katerina, William, and Lila. Robbie, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us, Robbie, where did you grow up?
So I was born in Atlanta and then moved to Southern California when I was 10 years old. So I feel like I've grown up as a Southern Californian in just sort of the midst of this industry. And I think one of the unique experiences is that I get to work with my father now. This will actually be my 14th year working with my father, which has been a great blessing. So it's just kind of getting to see what he does up close and personal for many years growing up out here in this industry. And so, I grew up in Southern California, just north of Los Angeles, in a town called Camarillo.
Camarillo. Who would you say, Robbie, influenced you most in your growing up years?
Ooh, what a great question. I would say that probably one of the most influential people growing up for me would have been my grandfather. So we lived in a three-generational home, which was an amazing experience. So my grandfather lived with us, and he was just an incredible man. He was a famous actor in the 30s. He did 60-plus movies. If you've seen Turner Classic Movies, you've probably seen some of his films. My grandmother was a famous actress as well. She was in the first talking picture and all that. But she had passed on early on in my father's life. And so I never knew her. But my grandfather, he was an amazing man. He was just an incredible gentleman. He always wore a suit. I mean, mean, he bought his suits from the thrift store, but he always wore a suit, and he just treated everyone with just such tremendous respect. And I think that if you would have got to meet him, you would have loved him. But he was an incredible man, and he taught me so many things about what it meant to be a gentleman, what it meant to be to care for people, what it meant to love people, what it meant to negotiate. He was a great negotiator, and I loved him. He was an amazing man that taught me a lot. And so it really, I think that's one of the beautiful aspects about the three-generational home that isn't always seen, but just being able to have your grandparents living there with you is just, is sort of game-changing, you know, for a kid. So I would say my grandfather was a huge impact in my early life, for sure.
It makes me want to know more, learn more, and I'm going to press a bit, hopefully, with you're such a gracious person, Robbie, as we met at NRB just a while ago. Memories of things that your grandfather said, as you talk about, just as you describe him, any phrases, anything that you recall and say, ah, Granddad used to always say that one.
You know, I think that there are people who have poignant phrases that you kind of remember, and there are people who have poignant actions. And I think my grandfather was one of those people that it was just, I remember images of him, of things he did that just kind of like burn into my mind. You know, like the fact that he would always, you know, stand up for, you know, any lady that comes to the table. And he just was the most caring. He would always make sure that everyone went before him, you know, and he was just, I don't know how to describe it. He was an amazing man. He was a saint almost, I feel like. But the thing that was really powerful about him is not only sort of those moments that I feel are in my mind, and I always see my grandfather with a suit. He loved wearing a suit. Now he loved thrift stores, and he loved estate sales. It's where he got everything. But he always would wear a suit. No matter, he said, even if it's 100 degrees, he would never take his coat off. But the thing is that what was so interesting about him is that, so my father, I think he communicated with you guys before, I think he's been on this program, he had a radical conversion experience at the age of 27. So my grandparents weren't Christian, and my father didn't grow up Christian either. And so he came to Christ through some people who came to Christ through Billy Graham, and they led him to Christ. And then my grandfather actually came to Christ 8 years later from that. So my grandfather would always tell us that we didn't know the type of person he was before he met Jesus. That he was a tough man. That he was a boxer in college. He grew up through the Great Depression. So he would let us know that he had been a very tough man early in life. And so it was an amazing experience to see such a gentle, godly man. And just to see how God transformed his life, you know, and just kind of totally changed who he was and how he acted. It was really powerful that he would tell us about that transition, so that we were able to know, like, wow, this is a big deal, you know, of who he was.
Well, what a heritage you have, Robbie, and how many people can say they have the privilege of working side by side by Dr. Ted Baer, your dad. I could only imagine what that would be like. I could hardly imagine what that would be like. Robbie, your faith. You talked about your father. You talked about your grandfather and their faith. Tell us about your faith journey.
Sure. I think a lot of times I was talking to a friend of mine, and who's just brilliant on theology, and he was making this comment that a lot of times, in the Western world, we can almost forget about our history of faith. And I really think that my faith, and he was talking a little bit about how our history of faith does come down through family in a very powerful way. And so it's very apropos that you brought up sort of those things at the beginning, because I really think that my history of faith started with my dad, 27 years old, when a woman named Audrey challenged him to read the Bible and tell him what was wrong with it. And for him to read that and come to Christ and then lead my mother to Christ, really, I feel like that journey of my faith started with them, with someone telling them about Jesus and changing their lives. And then it changed my grandfather's life, and obviously it changed all of our lives. So I have three siblings, and there's four of us all together. And we were all changed by that moment, by that one moment where just a kind person was willing to challenge my dad to read the Bible. And so I grew up in a family of faith, and I want to say that really, you know, I've just clinged to that faith my whole life, you know, and I've just felt the call and draw of God. And, you know, there's plenty of times in which I have I have struggles of doubt or whatever, of like, could God really do this thing? And then just amazement to see him acting and moving in incredible ways. So I really think I've seen God clearly in my life do incredible things. And I'm so honored and privileged to be able to grow up in a family of faith, and through that being able to deeply, you know, kind of experience God. And, you know, for our family is just, my parents have a high focus on learning. I'm sure my father talked a little bit about that, but, you know, he's got multiple higher degrees. My mom was architecture student at Rice University, so she graduated as an architecture degree from Rice University, and she was one of the first female architects graduates from Rice University. And, you know, so they always emphasize you know, education. And so I think for us, we always knew that there was a rich deepness to faith. And so we were able to kind of read and study and learn and just know, wow, this is not a shallow faith. Like, this is a deep faith Christianity that allows you to just, I mean, you can go as deep as you want to on the intellectual side. And I think that really helped me for my own intellectual curiosity and stuff. But I would say really my faith journey starts with my parents coming to Christ, because that woman, you know, random lady who was so kind, who came to Christ through Billy Graham, just said, hey, will you read the Bible and tell me what's wrong with it? And so that led my parents to Christ, and, you know, that kind of transformed our lives, you know, forever, that moment, because someone was bold enough to do that. So I believe that we kind of have my testimony is a history of faith. That doesn't start with me, and hopefully it doesn't end with me either. I've got four kids myself, and, you know, I'm hoping that they, and training them and talking to them about God every day, and they love the Lord, and hopefully keep that generationally, you know, going on of faith, of people's passion for God.
Well, we thank the Lord for Audrey and the Audreys of the world, huh, Robbie? Who boldly
sure.
step out as they do, as she did with your dad. Who knows, dear friend, what the Lord might do? Are you an Audrey today? Can God use you to reach someone? It might be an invitation. It might be a challenge. Hey, we're living in challenging times, aren't we? These are days where people have very strong opinions, strong positions, one way or the other. These are moments of tension, tenuous times, and yet perhaps the greatest moments are before us. Perhaps the greatest moment is in your hands right now to challenge someone with the love of God, the grace of Christ. Robbie Bear with us today. He's the co-chief executive officer of Good News Communications Incorporated. It's the parent company of Movie Guide. You can find out more at movieguide.org. Again, movieguide.org. More from Robbie Bear when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
What is it like to have that kind of legacy where your father, your grandfather, I mean, your grandparents, and they live with you. You have the opportunity to see them walk, talk, live with them, and see their example, be inspired by their example. Robbie Bear was inspired by the example of his grandfather and his father, who he works side by side with today. MovieGuy.org, find out more about the company. It's the parent company, where Robbie Bear is the co-chief executive officer with his dad, Dr. Ted Bear. Good News Communications Incorporated, Movie Guide and Christian Film and Television Commission, MovieGuy.org. Robbie, we talk about your work in the movie business. It's really the family business. How did you get wrapped up in the family business?
You know, that is a great, great question. The thing is, you know, as someone who grows up in an industry, so often you don't want to do exactly what your parents do. You know, I don't know if you've had a similar experience yourself, but oftentimes, whatever your parents are doing, you want to find a different kind of job. So growing up, I think, in the entertainment industry, my initial thought was actually to do something totally different, to do high finance. And so I actually ended up going to Wheaton College, which I loved. I ended up working for HSBC in investment banking. Mergers and acquisitions in London, and I had the honor to live in Hong Kong as well. When I was there, I just felt a deep call from God that this was not my purpose. And not to say that it can't be a great job for people to be able to do, but I just got one of those sort of Jonah moments where God is calling me to go and go back and make an impact in the entertainment industry. And I felt like God was kind of, the most important thing we can do is help people to know Jesus Christ. And where could I be most influential? And I thought, it's the entertainment industry. It's this industry that my family has been a part of for three generations. And so I felt the call of God to come back, and I didn't want to pull a Jonah. And so I came back, and this will be my 14th year of working for Movie Guide. And it's just been an incredible joy. It's definitely been a totally different experience, obviously, than high finance or other things like that. But it's been an experience where we've just seen God move and God work in incredible ways. And I think that a lot, I guess kind of if there's a theme so far of this show, for our discussion, is kind of because of that family legacy of my grandparents and then my father, it just allows a lot of richness and depth in what we do. And so because we're doing advocacy every day with the major institutions of power, you know, all of these companies that make the majority of content that people consume, from Sony to Warner Brothers to Disney, the fact that we've been in there for a long time allows us to missionally be more effective, because they know that it's not like we're coming from the outside in, but it's something that we've been there. We know we've been to their birthday parties and seen them through the ups and the downs. And so it allows us to have sort of that relational equity that allows us to speak into their lives in different ways that I think is really powerful. And I'm so thankful that God called me back to this mission. I'm thankful for it every day, truthfully, to be able to get to do what we get to do, to be able to make an impact in the industry for the gospel.
I heard you say in an interview, the good does well in movies. What do you mean?
You You know, I think that one of the powerful things about God, I mean, God is so incredible and so magnificent, but I just love the little things in the world that he puts in place that just let us know he's God. You know, it's like when you look at fractals and you see, wow, it's so complex. And it's supposed to be random, but yet it has these beautiful patterns in it, you know? And I think that that's kind of what I've seen, which is very interesting over this last 14 years of working there, seeing just how God's kind of set up these rules of the world that that are his moral principles that actually do better financially. So what we've found through our research, and this will actually be the 30th year of our research, we found that the less sex you put in the movie, the more money it makes. You know, the less violence, the more profitable it is. The less foul language, the better it does. You know, the more Christian content, the more successful it is. And so it was one of those things that when my father came in here initially, you know, the world told him sex sold. And you've probably heard that. A lot of people have kind of perpetuated that lie. But the truth is, it wasn't true. You know, that the good does do better. That more people want to see good. And if you think about it in your own life, like, I've rarely ever met somebody who's like, man, I really wish there was another F word in that film. You know, if there was another F word in that film, I would have seen it again, you know? And so we've seen that this, that actually doing morally good content also does well. And the interesting thing about it that's mind-blowing is it does better all around the world. You know, the principles of the Bible, it does better all around the world. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, from Japan to China to India, all around the world, it performs better. That people want to see the good. And I think that that's a cool thing. And we see it every year as we do our report. Every year we check again to see if this is true. And every year, amazingly enough, the good does better. And I just love that that's kind of I feel like that's kind of like a signature of God to kind of let us know, like, he loves us and he set this system up for us. And he set us up to be able to live moral lives, you know?
And you've got data to back that up.
We have data to back it up.
When you present that to the big companies, some of which you mentioned just a moment ago, how do they respond?
You know, the thing is that these people are absolutely brilliant. You know, the studio executives, like, they are where they are because they're very good at what they do, you know, and they're very capable and very smart. And the thing that we found is actually people are extremely receptive because they understand that principle. You know, they understand that it makes sense. It's easier to sell 4 tickets to a family than 1 to, you know, a sketchy teenager or something. And so they realize those principles. And it's very interesting because I always think that there might be some sort of, you know, accostment or people get angry about it. But every time we're in those meetings, people are totally fine and they understand and they like that. You know, we were working with Disney many, 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 many years ago. So it's long enough ago, I think it's okay to talk about because there's a lot of projects we work on that we can't talk about. But it was for The Chronicles of Narnia when they redid it as a live action, you know, and my father, you know, got the script and, you know, they had swearing and they had made the kids kind of like Valley kids. And it was just one of those things where we took them through and we're like, you can't do this. One is there's 100 million people that love The Chronicles of Narnia. And two is you're just going to lose money through doing it. And they're like, they understood and they made changes to it. They got rid of that, you know? And so I think that, they really are kind of sell to them is that they can make more money. And that's really, at the end of the day, what they have to show to their shareholders and their bosses and, is that they can be more successful. And so it's helpful. It's a helpful message. And it's not that hard to communicate in that way because it is a spoonful of sugar, you know, with the medicine that helps them kind of make these impacts. But it's cool. We see it time and time again, and you know they're incredibly receptive to be able to make these changes and these impacts, which is cool.
You're listening to Robbie Baer, Movie Guide, movieguide.org. Robbie is a co-chief executive officer with his father, Dr. Ted Baer. of Good News Communications Incorporated. It's the parent company of Movie Guide and Christian Film and Television Commission. We'll talk more about that when we come back from our break. For example, how does Movie Guide rate movies? I can tell you this, they don't do it just with a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Robbie will flesh that out for us when we come back. Also, a Cornell study in 2007 showed that 90% of children are abandoning parents' values. Well, that should stop us in our tracks. A Movie Guide is facilitating change in a positive direction with that, and we have Robbie Bear with us. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
In addition to his leadership with Movie Guide, Robbie Bear has spoken around the world on the impact media has on culture. The Rhodes Forum in Greece, Summit Ministries in Colorado Springs, Colorado, the oldest film university in the world in Russia, and indigenous talks, TED-style talks in Asia, in Hong Kong and China. Robbie Bear joins us today. You can find out more about Movie Guide at movieguide.org. Robbie, describe how Movie Guide rates movies and why it's... A tinge more, I say it with a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek there, more than just a thumbs up and thumbs down.
So we, you're exactly right. So we review movies, not just the thumbs up, thumbs down, but we look at, or not really the thumbs up, thumbs down, but we look at it based on 150 different criteria. And the process was developed by over 60 academics over 40 years ago, and we review it on how it affects a child at different cognitive stages of development. And really, our process is to be able to give the parent the information so that they understand what the content is in the film. And the truth is that you, as the parent, have the best way of being able to know, is it right for your child? You know, I mean, maybe your child's maturity level, it wouldn't be okay for them to be able to watch something or not. And we want to be able to give you the context and the understanding to be able to do that in an effective way.
What are some of those criteria?
So we look at it in a lot of different ways. We look at, like my father always talks about too, he loves the ontology. I think that's his favorite of all of them. The nature of being. We look at he talks about the epistemology and all those things, but pretty much to narrow it down in more sensical words is we look at things like the worldview. What is the worldview of the content that you are seeing? And the truth is that sometimes things that might even appear as if they're kids programming can come through with worldviews that are totally antithetical to our faith. And so we want you to be able to understand that worldview that's coming through. And so I always think of it kind of like, you know, Aristotle has a discussion about how people can understand art. And so we kind of, you know, the art expert is someone who can kind of give you more layers of understanding, which you might pretty simply understand once they say it, but you weren't able to articulate it yourself necessarily. So I think for us, we're trying to articulate the underlined things of the movie, that when you hear that, you're like, oh yeah, of course. And it just allows you as the parent to be able to say, wow, this is not good for my kid, or this is amazing for my child. Just to be able to understand how it's suited for your kid or for yourself. You know, my wife and I, we have 4 children, and obviously we check stuff about that, but we also check a lot for ourselves on, hey, is this something worth me seeing, you know, as a follower of Christ? Is this worth me watching? Will this help me honor God in my walk through the things that I see?
What is the MPAA, and how does Movie Guide differ?
So the MPAA is actually something that was set up by the studios. And so I think it, which, you know, it could be corrected if I'm wrong, but I think that actually many of the studios are on the board itself. But it's basically controlled by the major studios on the rating system. And in a lot of ways, it just doesn't offer... it doesn't offer the nuance that we are able to offer in a lot of ways when it says R, PG, PG-13. But the other thing about it, too, is a lot of times those ratings can be inaccurate. For example, when they did the Left Behind movie, if you remember that, with Kurt Cameron, if you remember, there's a whole controversy because the MPAA labeled it as R. And I remember the Left Behind guys, I think, called my dad, and they're like, hey, like, we couldn't even really afford blood in this film. So we're not sure why it's R, you know. And I think that was one of the cases my father's debated a couple in front of the MPAA board to get that changed. But it's often, too, and sort of like a more nerdy inside baseball, it's been used in some ways to kind of help the major studios, even from the independents. In ways to affect their, you know, rating on stuff. But I think that any parent who's watched a film and looked at the MPAA rating has probably been very regretful of listening to it. So we highly recommend to seek more information, to check it out, movieguide.org.
And Robbie Baird alluded to it, but he did not state it specifically. His father, Dr. Ted Baird, when he talked about going in and arguing a point, we have a lawyer who earned his JD from NYU. He studied at Cambridge University. He had his undergraduate degree from Dartmouth College. You're listening to Robbie Baird. Hey, Robbie, a Cornell study showed 90% of children are abandoning parents' values. What does this tell us?
You know, I think you've seen this, and you obviously live this too, but we live in very interesting times, and the power and the impact of the media is tremendous in shaping what people do and what people hope and dream to do. I've traveled all across this country and around the world, and I've had the opportunity and privilege to live around the world. And one of those things that's so interesting is you almost never go to an event where you don't see people who are impacted by film content. You know, I met a man in Missouri who chose to be a pastor because he was an 89-year-old man because he saw a man called Peter, you know. And I met a kid in Minnesota who decided to go work on Wall Street because he saw the movie Wall Street, which is a terrible movie. But the thing is that we see that all the time. And so our passion really is to turn that statistic around, you know, because of the consumption to, you know, encourage other lifestyles or different walks, maybe away from God. And our desire and our passion is to be able to help parents so that they can have their kids maintain their faith and values. And we have a whole process that we go through. It's called the Culture Wise Family. It takes you through on how you can train your kids to be able to analyze and understand the media for themselves so that they don't lose the faith and values of their parents. And so I think that that's just a very important thing to be able to understand how to analyze the nature of the content around you. Because you as a parent can't be there with your child at all times, you know, and they might be in plenty of areas where they see content that is antithetical to their values. But it's important and crucial for them to be able to understand how to decipher that information and how to vet that information. And what we found is through the Culturewise family, even though its intent is primarily to be able to help in the MediaWise family, we have two resources on that, to be able to help parents teach their kids how to discern media, we found that it's been helpful for children to be able to discern all sorts of things, to be able to discern when they go to college and they hear the crazy professor that is trying to, you know, diss on their faith. It teaches them a way to be able to see a framework of the world so that they can understand their worldview through it. And so that statistic really does drive us each and every day to be able to help parents help their children maintain their faith and values.
Robbie Bear, Movie Guide, movieguide.org. Before we go to our break, Robbie, explain a little bit more, if you would, about the integration of entertainment and education and how people develop.
So we I highly recommend for each and every parent, if you can and you want to check out either one of our books, MediaWise Family or Culturewise Family. And what they will do is they go through the different cognitive stages of development. So there are different stages of development in which the media affects the child differently. And so it's very important for you as the parent to be able to understand that. Everything from the imagination stage to the concrete stage, there are a lot of different stages through it that it's important for you to be able to understand how the media is impacting the child. And so I highly recommend that you kind of read one of those resources if you're willing, or go to your library and get them to, you know, send it to you. But just to be able to go through in depth and kind of understand the different cognitive stages of development of your child and how the media will impact them at those different stages.
MediaWise Family. Robbie, when we come back, let's talk about the gala. There's a movie award gala, Movie Guide Award gala that is an annual event, a star-studded event that I want Robbie to talk about and share with us. So you said MovieWise Family. Where can someone get that book, Robbie?
The MediaWise Family or the Culturewise Family, you can buy either one of them on Amazon, or you can go to movieguide.org and you can scroll to the bottom and click on books, and you can buy it from us as well.
There you have it, movieguide.org. We'll come back in our final segment with Robbie Bear of Movie Guide, movieguide.org. Robbie's achievements at Movie Guide to date include taking the radio program from under a million to over, get this now, 24 million monthly listeners. He also serves as executive producer for the nationally broadcast Movie Guide Awards, which we'll talk about when we come back. A critical work that is being done with a rich, rich legacy carried on today by our guest, Robbie Bear, movieguide.org. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
You're listening listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Danny Yamashiro here. Thanks for joining us today. I'm here with Robbie Bear of Movie Guide. You can find out more at movieguide.org. Hey, if you're tuning in right now, maybe caught the tail end of our last segment, look, you can get this program in its entirety. It's a free podcast. Just go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Robbie, the award gala, annual award, Movie Guide Award Gala. What is that? Who comes to it? What's it for?
Sure. It's a big awards event that we do every year, and it's a Golden Globe-style awards event. And what I mean by that is, you know, the Academy Awards has everybody kind of sitting in chairs watching kind of like a play, but the Golden Globes has people sitting in tables where you get to talk to people, and you see the awards. So we do it in tables, and what it is it's full of top people in Hollywood that are making an impact. So there's about 300 guys and gals that make the decisions on the majority of content that you see from a television or a movie side of things. And so what we do is get many of those people in the room, and we sit them down and we give them awards for content that we believe honors faith or family values. So there are movies like Captain America to movies like Captain America or Boss Baby to movies like Fireproof or, Facing the Giant. So it's really like a full spectrum on that. And, we've just seen an incredible impact where we have people come to the award show and they get to receive amazing awards and they get to sit next to every table. We have people who are people of faith too that kind of sit and talk to people as well. And so it's just a great experience for people to get to hear the report, and they get to hear the gospel, and they get to get praised for good content that they make. And we just see it touching people's lives all the time. And, everybody gets to walk away with a Bible in the gift bag. They get other amazing gifts too, but they all get a Bible as well. And that has just had such a tremendous impact that it still shocks me all the time that we kind of forget about just how good the gospel is and what great news it is. I think oftentimes we can kind of in the church get into moments of like, man, the world is tough and it's dark, but we miss out that God is good and the gospel is powerful. And so we will hear people regularly give us a call and say, wow, this book is so amazing. And, we had one of our executive producers, someone gave a call and they're like, this is an amazing book. It seems to have all of these answers for us. And she's like, well, what's the name of the book? Because we give away a couple of this. The person was like, oh, it's called The Bible. We're like, yes, that's a very good book. But we just see a great impact. I was actually talking to a very successful person, and they were telling me about when they got the Bible in the gift bag, they were so mad about it originally, but they just said, I'm going to take it. And they read it, and they just became on fire for God. And they actually gave it to somebody else who's also, it was just interesting to hear kind of the chain of faith through this book that he kind of went through with me, just through us giving him the Bible and how it changed his life and his family's life. And so we just get to see such amazing, tremendous impact through this event that we throw during award season. And this will be our 30th year this year, just to be able to see people's lives change through giving people awards that honor faith and family values.
We talk about Christians succeeding in Hollywood. It might seem almost counterintuitive, when someone hears that. Or perhaps someone in the industry might have a different story of the challenge or the difficulty that comes with it. How have you seen, Robbie, Christians succeed in Hollywood?
You know, I've seen a lot of tremendous success from Christians in Hollywood. And I think that we in the church, so the way that we kind of think of it in movie guys terms is, you know, there's kind of mainstream Hollywood content, and then there's like Christian independent content. And I think that the church often looks at like the Christian independent content, which is great, and we're very excited about that. And they sometimes miss the movements of faith from the mainstream Hollywood. And, you know, there's a lot of people of faith in Hollywood that are doing amazing things, that put faith content throughout movies that are huge, that are big movies, that have things that talk about God. And so we've seen, actually, from a movie guy perspective, that when we started, there was only one movie with a positive reference to Christianity, and last year it was 60%. And so we just see that the nature of even these huge films, where you think about the fact that the average film in Hollywood cost $104 million to make. And so even something like The Bible and Captain America is a big deal, you know, that the producers are able to put in there, you know, or Superman going to church. And those things have impact globally. And so we see a lot of people of faith that are able to put faith into content in just kind of a cool, powerful way that makes a big impact. I had a really unique opportunity, so we've gotten to do some stuff overseas with Movie Guide. We got to launch a couple of Bollywood films in India, and we've been Korea, we've been all around. But one time we were in Japan, and one of the, you know, Japan has one of the largest film markets outside of the United States. And I remember walking through with the guide, and he was telling me about Tokyo, and it was incredible and amazing. And he said something that was very interesting that they've seen happen across the country is that because of the fact that young Japanese have seen so many American films, that they now want to have a wedding in a church instead of the traditional way in which they had the weddings before. And so they were seeing that there's a huge influx of people who are going to church for this moment because they've seen it through rom-coms and other things like that. And it's just like incredible about the impact that it's having for these pastors to be able to have this special moment where they're able to talk about faith because people want a pastor because they've seen it through film. And so we've seen just a lot of impact even through the huge content of people of faith. And I would say that Hollywood is not faith phobic. And I think a lot of times, you know, the Christian church is like, oh, is Hollywood anti-Christian? And they're not. We've seen it so many times that they're absolutely accepting of faith. I think the real difficulty oftentimes in Hollywood has been the fact that they kind of accept all faith. So it's one of those situations where they think everything is, you know, it's kind of like if you've been able to talk about faith in some, you know, countries that have millions of gods, you know, where they think, oh, yes, Jesus is one of the gods and there's millions of others. And that, in a lot of ways, is kind of like the Hollywood experience. And so a lot of it is just getting to talk about why this is such an incredible thing, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and how it really changes everything. And so that's kind of the joy we get to do every day. And man, we don't even have time to tell you all the fun, crazy, insane stories of miracles that we see that just are amazing.
There was something I saw on your website where you had some movie stars, and there was a section that was asking for prayer for these stars and a little biographical information on each one. Be interesting to find out how you picked those, but we're going to wrap the show soon, Robbie. So I'm going to ask if you can pray but also set an example of how you pray. How does Robbie Bear, how does Ted Bear, how do you guys pray for movie stars? How do you pray for producers? If you can lead in a prayer and pray for them, and we'll pray with you and listen and learn how to pray for Hollywood. Could you do that, please?
I'd love to. Dear Lord, we just thank you so much for this time that we have to come together and to be able to talk about your good news, God, that you are a God who is moving in this world, Lord, and that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. God, we love you so much. We're so thankful that you are God and that you love us and that you rose again on the cross 2,000 years ago. God, we pray for this industry of Hollywood. Lord, we know that the stories that are told impact the world, Lord. God, we know that you are a God who is a storyteller. And Lord, we pray that you help us to be able to influence and impact these people with your good news, Lord. God, we thank you so much for each and every day for people's lives who are touched by your gospel. Lord, we know that this is such great news, Lord. And we see so many incredible stories of people coming to faith and their lives transformed in the joy that you bring them, God. We thank you that we're able to live in joy because you live, Lord. God, we pray that you just give us wisdom on how to be able to reach more people for you, Lord. God, we pray that people are able to see the joy that can come through knowing you, Lord. And God, we pray that each and every one of us is able to live lives that help people to know you. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Robbie, thanks. Thanks for being with us today. What a privilege it is to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Compelling words from Robbie Bear, movieguide.org. Dear friend, God's timing is perfect. And we believe there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And look, if you haven't done so, this may be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a video for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers, your financial support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Donate. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Robbie Bear, movieguide.org. Until next time, along with my guest coordinator, Lani Ka'a, technical producer, Chaz Ontai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.